Hi, I'm J.P. Moses with REITips.com, and this is Real Estate Investing Undressed. Okay, and I'm talking with the strategic real estate coach himself, Josh Cantwell. Josh, thanks for connecting with me here in the morning, and this is actually the first time that you and I have ever spoken personally, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you inviting me on this call, and look forward to delivering some great information.
Well, for those listening to the recording of this after the fact, if you haven't heard of Josh, he hit my radar a few months ago, and actually you may remember if you've been a subscriber to the blog here for a while, back in, I think it was late August, I did a review of the Short Sale Manifesto 2.0 and just pointed out some of the things that kind of jumped out at me and really surprised me, and I felt like it was a real eye-opener. If I'm not mistaken, you've been in the real estate business for about the last 5 years, is that right?
Okay. Yeah, that's about right. I had a financial planning background and used to work with clients, doing IRAs and life insurance planning and retirement planning, and saw that a lot of my high-end, high-net-worth clients, owned real estate, either commercial or rental properties, and they, bought and sold, flipped some houses, rehabs and stuff. So back in really 2003, I started to gravitate away from my financial planning career and started doing some rehabs and going to some boot camps and, doing the guru thing and just sitting in the crowd listening to people, and really started to get into this business really full-time in the beginning of 2004.
Okay.
And in my market, JP, I'm in Cleveland, Ohio, which has been, when other parts of the country, Florida and Vegas and California were really hot back in, 2003 through 2007. My market was terrible. I come from the foreclosure capital of the country in Cleveland, Ohio, and I had to get really good at buying and selling foreclosure properties because there was a tremendous amount of foreclosures back then and just not a lot of properties appreciating in value. So all the marketing that I did was generating foreclosure leads, whether it was short sales and pre-foreclosures or it was, REOs with REO agents. So I had to get good at that business right away, and the business sort of picked me. I didn't really pick the foreclosure business. It sort of picked me because that's the market that I was in.
Well, you talk about markets being different, and clearly, I don't think there is, in one sense, there is no national real estate market that you can identify that's all the same. It's a bunch of little markets, but there are a lot of commonalities, and especially right now as things are turning and churning. Short sales, REOs, those are two really, really intense profit centers right now, and you're just killing it in the short sale arena, I understand. So I know you got some stuff cooking. What I want to do is we're going to go kind of fast because I know you have kind of a time constraint, and I wanted to keep it short.
Sure.
For everyone anyway. I want to go kind of behind the music a little bit. I know a few days ago, those listening may remember, I sent out a link about the video that you put out, the top five reasons investors and realtors can both make a killing by working on short sales together without spending a dime on marketing. I watched
Sure.
that, and I got to say, it was really, really innovative stuff. It wasn't a short video, but
Right.
it was just filled to the brim with some really excellent, excellent real-world current market stuff. And, it was really, for those who didn't catch it, it was about how to basically corner your local market by positioning yourself strategically as a leading expert or like a go-to guy in your area when it comes to investing. And, you can imagine the deals that might come your way when you are that authority and how you could feasibly make that happen without spending a dime on marketing. I can testify to the power of that myself. And honestly, it's almost shockingly easy if you just kind of open your eyes to how you go about doing that.
Sure.
Now,
the thing is, in this particular market, JP, I'm in the market. One thing I want to make absolutely clear is that I still do a tremendous amount of investing. Just this morning, I met with my acquisitions guy and what I call one of our case managers, and I have my, meeting with my Ambrose property staff in about 2 hours from now. So I'm in the business all the time, and, that's one of the things you can do. If you're a brand new investor, really one of the biggest obstacles is just, for a lot of people, it's their budget. They don't have a tremendous amount of money to spend on marketing. And if in this particular market that we're in, there's so many real estate agents out there, and really agents own 75% of the market, 75% of all the properties that transfer have some realtors involved or real estate agents involved. So my
Right.
thought has been for the past couple years, why not go after that market instead of, being in an adversarial situation against that market? So we've embraced real estate agents, mortgage brokers, attorneys. We've embraced centers of influence. And so there's really two things that I wanted to address in the video. Number one is, if you're an experienced investor, you can become the expert pretty easily by being an expert in short sales, and basically by solving problems for mortgage brokers, attorneys, and for real estate agents, just becoming a problem solver for them and setting it up so they can make more money, then you as the investor can have a tremendous amount of leads and a tremendous amount of opportunity and basically cherry pick the deals that you want. The other half of that, JP, is that for a new investor, you don't have to have a tremendous amount of money to do direct mail and yellow letters and marketing and bandit signs and things like that. If you can just be a good networker and have a good elevator speech, a good one-minute elevator speech, and be able to tell these agents and tell people at the RIA groups and tell mortgage brokers what you do and do it really quick and very confident, they're going to realize that you can be a solution to their problem. You can do the things that they don't want to do, allow them to just be good at what they're really, you know, what they do in their normal day job. And if they're a realtor, they're good at marketing themselves and marketing properties. If they're a mortgage broker, they're good at marketing, getting leads, and then doing refinances and purchases. And when you step in and handle the short sale for them, make the offer and step in, do the BPO, negotiate the deal, and set it up so they can make more money, then you as the investor, whether you're brand new and just trying to get leads, or if you're experienced and trying to become the expert, you can do that in this market and spend none of your own money on marketing.
Now, that video is not available anymore, right?
The video is now gone. It's off the market. But there are some of the ideas in that video that are in the Short Sale Manifesto 2.0 that's out right now. It's available for free download and comes with a four-part audio series, which is an audio version of the manifesto. But it's been don't get me wrong, I'm not against marketing. I mean, we do a tremendous amount of marketing through yellow letters. We have our realtors, actually, that are our team player realtors that send out direct mail almost for us. And here's a good tip, JP, I'll just give just to your group that I really haven't talked about at all to other people, is that if you have an agent who does marketing, what we found is that real estate agents, if they send out direct mail, like yellow letters, and the letter says, you know, I have a buyer for your house, we've seen the response rate on those letters almost triple our own yellow letters, that say, hey,
really?
I want to buy your house. Here's the reason why, is because sellers in foreclosure, they just have a natural tendency, because of our market, to gravitate towards the realtor. So we have our agents send the same, almost exact same yellow letter. Ours says, you know, I want to buy your house. The realtor says, I have a buyer for your house. And the real estate agent is getting almost 2-3 times the response that we are. Now, guess what? When that lead comes into the realtor, that deal's coming right back to me anyway.
Right.
And the realtor is paying for the marketing. The realtor is sending out the letters and paying for the postage.
That's awesome. I'd call it. I mean, if I got one of those letters, if I believed it, I'd call it.
Why wouldn't you? I mean, especially because in the short sale arena, the lenders require that a realtor be involved anyway. They want the property listed with the realtor. So this is, again, another reason why this concept of partnering up with agents works right now in this market for both us and the real estate agent. And we've tested this over the past couple of months and having our agents send out the letters, and they get a tremendous response. And they love it because it's a brand new idea that they've never heard of. And for them, they're saying, hey, I'm the professional. I'm the licensed agent. You know, I bring a professional presence. And, oh, by the way, I have a buyer for your house. How's that? And people are responding to that.
That's fantastic. I really appreciate you sharing that. And I don't remember reading that in the manifesto, so that's
a brand new idea. I have not talked about that really with anybody. We talked about it briefly at our last coaching event about a month ago.
Well, let's talk about the manifesto for a second. I've read it cover to cover myself. Like I said, I think it's extremely well written. It gets right down to brass tacks, which I like. It's not full of a lot of fluff, and it really unwraps some of the unique facets that you're focusing on and doing deals in today's economy. And I remember the other day I read an email that a mutual friend of ours, Gary Boomershine, sent out. He said it was like it was written by part entrepreneurial clairvoyant and part real estate visionary. No one puts things like Boomer. But I
see that, but that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, you write that one down and put it on your desk. I'm no newbie to short sales. It's not my primary bread and butter. I've been through a number of courses, and I even helped someone put a course together on the topic. I have done a handful of them. Frankly, I think for a freebie, and I know it's only out there for a limited time, I think the manifesto is extremely, extremely well done. It's 63 pages of meat and potatoes. And if you read my original review, those of you who are listening, I had brought out three specific aha moments that I had when I was reading it. But let me just say, and there's a link on the blog post where this audio is if you want to pick it up if you haven't already. What I want to do is look behind the music. I want to give you some of the questions that some of my subscribers asked. I sent out an email yesterday letting them know that I was going to be having this conversation with you. I've got a couple of questions myself as well.
Sure.
But let me just ask you, if you could, start by telling me a kind of a Reader's Digest version of why you even wrote this thing in the first place. What inspired you to put the Short Sale Manifesto together and maybe the 2.0 version specifically and to put it out here like this?
Well, the answer is because I truly believe that right now is the best time to be a foreclosure investor, specifically a short sale investor. If you can really put together the team and put together the pieces, now is the time. So I want people to understand that your old school short sale course that was, you know, 3 and 5 years ago really is, it needs to be, that information needs to be updated for today's market. So anytime we want to get new information out there, I believe in reciprocity. I believe that giving information away and allowing people to be better at what they do, ultimately, in some way, shape, or form, you know, people are going to be gravitating back towards us. Whether they buy my products or not is really not the point here. But the market needs new, free information. And, you know, I don't do any, like, stage speaking and traveling. I don't do that kind of thing. You know, I market and give stuff away on the Internet. That's really my cup of tea. So, you know, we wrote the original Short Sale Manifesto almost 18 months ago, and that's the report that launched Strategic Real Estate Coach. And we've had over 50,000 people read that report. But it was 18 months ago, and I really thought, listen, for those people that already read the report and for new people gravitating towards short sales, they really have to have an updated version that focuses on what's happening with today's market, with the mortgage meltdown, you know, with new contracts that we're using, like the option contract. And ultimately, you know, people will read that information. Hopefully they get a tremendous amount out of it. And if they're looking for more information, they sort of know where to find it. But I believe in moving the free line. That's one of the things that my internet marketing buddies talk about is moving the free line and giving information out to the marketplace so that people can become better investors. And then ultimately, if they want more information or get back in touch with me, then they've had the exposure to me and my business.
Absolutely. And I know, I think another way to put that is you build trust in people by taking some of your best stuff and giving it to them, which, you know, it makes good sense because what a better way to show people that you're authentically who you say that you are. Well,
sure.
Let me jump into some questions
sure.
That I got from my subscribers. I'm just going to, as far as I can tell, and I got a lot of questions, by the way. I've just had to pull a handful of them out, and I don't know how many we're going to be able to get through. But as far as I can tell, they're specific questions, but they seem to have come from people who read the manifesto and then have these follow-up questions. So we won't spend a lot of time on each one of them, but let me jump in. The first one is from Patrick Henry, and yes, that is his real name, Patrick Henry.
Okay.
It's about protecting yourself, and he says, yes, JP, I have a question you might ask Josh. Here in the Portland-Vancouver area, we're having a lot of buzz about legislation that's going through concerning investors who deal in foreclosures. The bottom line for us is, at this point in time, as I understand it, we are advised to be very conservative in offering, quote-unquote, help to homeowners facing foreclosure, including pre-foreclosure, because sellers who later decide that they were duped can then come back after the fact against the investor or buyer even years later.
I know what they're getting at, JP, and that's pretty much, you know, there's different legislation in several different states. And again, I'm not an attorney. I do have an attorney that's my partner. His name is Jeff Watson. And Jeff was, you know, one of the pioneers of the option contract. But we're firm believers in the fact we do not go in to a situation and tell people. We advise them of what their options are. We want them to make an educated choice. But again, I don't go in and tell them I can do a forbearance form. I don't tell them I can do a loan modification. I don't try to get, you know, them to give me $1,000 to do a repayment plan. I tell them, listen, the one thing I'm interested in doing, here's your options. The one thing I'm interested in doing is buying your house. And if you are what we call an equity purchaser, a buyer of a property, you eliminate and remove yourself from being construed as what people are being getting in trouble for, which is a foreclosure consultant. Okay, so if you represent yourself as a home buyer, and the one option, I can tell you what your options are, but the only option I'm really involved in being is a buyer of your home, what we call an equity purchaser, you pretty much remove yourself from being construed at or being thrown into the pile of foreclosure consultants. And again, every state has different laws, so I can't really speak to, you know, Portland and the Vancouver area specifically, but I know that that's where people are running into problems, JP, is, you know, they're going in and saying, I can help you with forbearance, I can help you out with loan modification, I can help you file bankruptcy, and then you're just crossing the line, and you can then be considered a foreclosure consultant, and we do not want to be in that category.
Do you think that, do you recommend people put something like that in writing as a part of it to say, I'm not a foreclosure consultant, I'm not, you know, you understand I'm buying and not doing this and that. Do you find that that's
Absolutely.
Necessary or just the verbal conversation is enough for you?
No, I really like to get things in writing, and as part of the option contract package that Jeff Watson put together for our students, it's actually in the Short Sale Success Blueprint that we're going to be giving away next week. Volume 3 is all the different contracts. It shows all the contracts. Anyway, the point is that in what we call our affidavit of understanding is a 24-point document that they have to initial, and it says right in there they understand that, let's say, Josh Cantwell, Ambrose Properties, is not a foreclosure consultant. We are purely a buyer of a home. I'm not charging you for options. I'm not trying to help you with your other options. What I'm trying to do is buy your house, and I definitely think people should get that in writing. You know, people just have a tendency to remember what they want to remember, so it's really good to get things in writing.
Absolutely. Very good. Okay, next question is from Mike Nicholas regarding the new option contract method, which, by the way, I know in the manifesto you take a whole 4 pages to spell it out from start to finish exactly how that works. So we're not going to go into how that works. If you want to understand how that works and how it replaces the land trust method, you can read it right there. His question is, the option contract has gained a lot of popularity with short sale investors due to its transparency in language, yet a lot of underwriters seem to have issues approving it. For example, we closed a transaction in Southern California not too long ago that the underwriters had no problem with the option contract, yet in Northern California, the same underwriter, different branch, would not approve the same option contract. Not to say California is the only state like this, because we've seen this abroad with other underwriters in different states as well. Why is that?
Good question. I can tell you that in closing real estate transactions, when he's talking about the underwriter, he's probably talking about the title insurer, or maybe he's talking about the end buyer's mortgage company, if he's doing a short sale quick turn. So I guess what I can tell you is that from a underwriter's perspective for title insurance, we've had literally almost no problems with option contract when the option's used to buy the property and then resell the property to an end buyer. But ultimately, when you're dealing with underwriters, you're not dealing with this. It could be the same underwriter, the same title insurance company, but you're still dealing with individuals. And individuals are going to read contracts differently. They're going to read, title insurance policies differently. So we typically tend to close our deals with one title company that we've used that understands. There's lots of different title companies I could refer people to throughout the country. Now, if you're dealing with an end buyer's mortgage company, sort of the same thing. It's really important to get to know and be in this market, be really involved with your end buyer and their financing. You know, a couple years ago, you could sort of just find a buyer and the buyer could say, you know, I'm getting a mortgage with XYZ mortgage company. We believe now, because underwriting guidelines are so strict, we teach our students to get a better understanding from the buyer and the buyer's agent who is writing the loan, you know, what policies do they have, and just really get in touch with the mortgage broker or the mortgage originator who's writing the loan for the end buyer, because you want to get a better understanding of if they can or can't do things. And there's some tips that are out there, some of my students are using, to take that buyer and convince them to use your own mortgage company or your own mortgage broker who's option friendly, okay? So it's just like any other contract, to be honest, JP. You know, there's going to be some people that understand it, gravitate towards it, and use it, and there's absolutely no problems. And there's going to be a small percentage of the population that maybe asks deeper questions, doesn't have as good of an understanding as other people might, and they might not do the deal. It's the same thing when people were using land trust or people were using other different types of contracts. But certainly option has been embraced by lots of people, and lots of people use option contracts not only in short sales but in wholesaling and in commercial real estate, in probates, and other different types of niches as well.
Yeah, it's a great little form that is too often overlooked in our industry. Okay, Lindsay has a question kind of revolving around hard money costs. She, you know, we're in a period right now where it seems like the simultaneous closing is undergoing a bit of a transition. Some people are doing them just fine, continue to without any problems. Some people are experiencing some difficulties getting simultaneous closings approved. People kind of look at them a little squirrely. She happens to be in an area in California, San Diego actually, where they appear to be going the way of the dodo. So she's looking at the option of using hard money for her short sale flips for the first part of the transaction. Are you using hard money for that? What do you typically pay for your hard money when you do that? Do you use transactional funding? How do you recommend people navigate that?
That's a great question. And we've been teaching JP for the better part of 2 years that if you're doing a back-to-back transaction and buying it and selling it in the same day, that first transaction should be funded. We really believe that in order to follow the guidelines and just be purely black and white and have no gray area, that first transaction should be funded. So with that being said, there's actually been a small new industry of lenders who've been popping up, and they're available to fund that first transaction, the A to B, what they call the A to B transaction. And most of them are charging anywhere between really 2 points up to 5 points. There are a few lenders out there, very small minority, who will do 1 point under very strict circumstances. And I have several different sources of people who will do that. JP, let me know. I mean, I can give out some even names and numbers on the phone here if you think that is
No, yeah, please do. If you're cool with that, I'd love for you to.
Okay. So before I get into that, let me just tell what basically happens is that first transaction, in order to be a legitimate transaction that stands on its own, should be fully funded, and all of the expenses, the real estate taxes, commissions, closing costs, everything should be paid out and should be handled by either a closing attorney or a title company. And then the B2C transaction, the resale transaction, should also stand on its own, and all the closing costs on that HUD 1 should also be paid and fully funded. With that being said, there's companies that have popped up. A friend of mine right in the Cleveland area is a guy named Brian Stark, and he owns a company called True Star Funding. Their number is 216-426-8400. 216-426-8400. And Brian has a very deep pockets. He knows people with very deep pockets, and he has what we call transactional funding available to fund that A to B transaction for anywhere between 2 points and 5 points. And it depends on the deal, depends on the property values, depends on, you know, how much money he has already out there at that time is going to dictate the points that he charges. Most likely he's going to charge about 3 points on most deals. Another friend of mine, actually a coaching student of mine, is a fellow named Jason Medley. And Jason owns a company called iVisionary Financial. And Jason also has what we call transactional funding to fund that A to B transaction. And I believe you can get a hold of Jason at iVisionary.com is his company name. And he basically works under the same circumstances. As long as the B2C contract has a clear to close and is ready to go, then they will turn around and fund the A to B closing. And they'll fund 100% of the A to B closing. A traditional hard money lender, JP, is not going to fund the A to B. Their dynamic, their thought process is very different, where they're looking at funding 65% of the purchase price. And they're going in with hard money, charging points, charging interest, and all that kind of stuff. So you don't want to use a traditional hard money lender. You want to use more of what we call these transactional funders, who are basically funding the transaction for 1 day. They're getting in, getting out, because the property is being resold.
Now, like 2 to 5 points is, you know, for a service like that is pretty good for properties in the Memphis area here where I am. You know, that would be pretty affordable. But I could see how, you know, if you've got a $350,000 payoff on a house, you're looking at a pretty decent chunk there. Do you know if that ever wavers on, I don't know if you call them higher-end properties, but on beefier loans like that, beefier payoffs?
It definitely can. I think, you know, in some cases, you know, these different guys that we know and they're willing to sort of work out deals, I guess, depending on the size of the loan. And if they're pretty comfortable when, you know, a house is going to be resold, you know, the same day or the next day, as long as they're really comfortable, I'm sure, you know, on the bigger loan values, they'd be willing to look at, you know, potentially cutting their fees. Now, I don't want to put words in their mouth, obviously, but, you know, you're looking at $500,000 deal or even $1 million deal. They know that even 1 point or 1.5 points on those size of transactions is going to be a pretty hefty payout for them. Now, the thing you have to keep in mind is that the majority of those guys, they're not using their money. They're borrowing money from either hedge funds or, you know, somebody's rich uncle, and their rich uncle or the hedge fund, they're dictating the loan terms. And this, you know, guy like Jason Medley or a guy like Brian Stark really is almost like a mortgage broker. It's like a mortgage originator. They're just originating this money for one day. So a guy like Jason or a guy like Brian, they're going to have people that they have to go to report to, and they're going to set the loan terms.
Makes sense. Okay. Hey, I really appreciate the specificity there and even giving phone numbers and websites out. That was gold. I know we need to wrap up for sake of time for you. Let me ask you one more question. What's all this leading up to? Why did you re-release the manifesto? Let's be really transparent. What's next?
Sure. Well, I'll be totally transparent. We basically, you know, I love working with coaching students. I love working with people who are in the game full-time or trying to be in the real estate investing game full-time. So what we're doing is we're releasing next week what we call the Short Sale Success Blueprint and Short Sale Success University. Short Sale Success Blueprint is our course. It's a very comprehensive course, including a manual, 500-page manual, DVDs, audios, and all this other stuff. What most real estate trainers and speakers do is they release a course and they charge $1,000 or $2,000 for it. What we're doing is we're giving away the written portion of the course starting on Tuesday at noon, just for the cost of shipping and handling. So
all
we're
right.
giving away
it's Friday the 5th today, so this is Tuesday the what?
That's Tuesday the 9th.
Okay.
Tuesday the 9th at noon Eastern time, we'll open it up. You know, we'll open up the website and we'll be taking orders. And basically, the course is free. The written portion of the course is free, and they'll just pay the $17 for shipping and handling. So we want to get that information out to the market and have as many people as possible dig into that information totally free, just pay the shipping and handling. And what we really want to be, you know, completely transparent is for people to test out what we call our Short Sale Success University, and people will get a 30-day free trial of our, you know, high-level coaching program. There'll be access to our membership site, access to our live events, access to weekly coaching calls, and they'll get that access for 30 days absolutely free. Then if they want to stay in the coaching program, this is a $10,000 a year coaching program, and we basically chopped off the price of that thing by 80%, and they can stay in that coaching program if they want for $197 a month. So this is not one of those coaching programs where you don't get to talk to a coach. We do weekly coaching calls. We do weekly Q&A calls. We have a dynamite membership site with dozens of videos, hundreds of calls, lots of free reports and different things. And we just did a live event, JP, back in Las Vegas about 3 weeks ago. We had about 240 people there, and they were all coaching students in this Short Sale Success University. And we spent 3 days with them, working one-on-one with them. So we're giving away the blueprint for people, to get more free information, to try us out. And then if they want to remain in that, what we call Short Sale Success University coaching program, they'll have the opportunity to do that for basically $200 a month.
And one of the things I appreciate, it's not one of those sneaky things where suddenly you're a part of something you didn't really mean to become a part of. I appreciate you spelling that out. What I would say to anyone, having read the manifesto, at the very least, I know we're all listening to this and we're in different places in our business. Some of us are full-time, some are just getting started, and everywhere in between. At the very least, I think everybody should download the manifesto and consume it, because it's a real eye-opener, and it's free, and it's there, and it's only going to be there, I think, until you open up shop on Tuesday. So
yeah, the manifesto will be there basically till the end of the day on Monday, and then
right.
Tuesday we'll open it up, and people can get the Short Sale Success Blueprint, the manual. Again, that's free, but that's a hard, that's a hard-copied, printed book, almost 500 pages. So to get that, too, people just have to pay the cost of the shipping and handling. So I'd go so far as to get that, because you only pay for the shipping, and then just, you know, get consume that information too, and then see how it goes. If people like the coaching program, if they like the format and the platform for that type of thing, and they want that type of help, then absolutely stay in. If they don't think they're at the point where they need that type of thing, no problem.
I couldn't agree more. I've read the manual as well. I've got a copy of it. And, you know, one of the things I like about what you put out is it really validates something of great importance, and you touched on it earlier, and that is that you're actively contending with today's issues in today's real estate market. Not only are you out there navigating these waters, but clearly you're doing so with great success. So, and I'm hearing a lot of great stuff come out from your students, those who dwell in the inner sanctum with you. So,
sure.
I appreciate you giving us a few minutes here. I'll send an email out when just to remind everybody about what's coming up Tuesday.
Yeah, well, they can download all this stuff. You know, you just I'm sure you're going to get an email out to them, send them the link with the website, and they'll be able to get all this information. And, you know, JP, I just appreciate you getting me on the line, and hopefully people have gotten a lot of value out of this call. And, you know, just look for all this free information that's out there to be had.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Take care.
All right, JP, take care. Thanks again. Bye-bye.